Turning in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you this morning for the love of God. The love of God that we see in one place, and that is on the cross of Calvary, where God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that message is on every page of this book. And we pray that we might see that message this morning. And if there are any Is there anyone here who's never believed it? We pray that today would be the day when they would turn to you from their sin and trust you as their Savior. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week in our studies here in the book of Ruth, we moved from the national application of these verses to the personal application that we find here. And we focused our attention on the first three words in verse 6, where we read concerning Naomi, "Then she arose." And we noted a couple of things about this word "then." We saw that it's a word that signals a change, a turning point, change of direction in Naomi's life. And it's also a word that takes us back to the preceding verses to see what it took to bring about this turning point, to bring about this change of direction in Naomi's life. And what we saw that it took to bring Naomi to this turning point, this change of direction, what it was that caused her to arise and leave Moab was the death of her husband, Elimelech, and the death of her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. As we begin this morning, there are four words in the middle of this verse that are very critical for us to see, because I think that they reveal something of the depth of Naomi's rebellion there in Moab. And the purpose of the Spirit of God is not for us just to see Naomi's rebellion there in Moab. He wants us to see and learn something about the depth of our own rebellion and the bent of our heart to constantly turn away from the Lord. Notice the words, "For she had heard." For she had heard. The first word in this little four-word phrase that we want to notice is the word "had." Had is past tense, as the word "learned" is, "heard" is. She had heard. And that's important because it means that at some point in the past, there in Moab, Naomi had heard something. Good news travels fast. And what she had heard is there in the middle of verse 6. "For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Another little word that stands out here is the word "how." How. One of the tools of Bible study that Pastor Kelly gave us is to, as we read the scriptures, think about why the Lord says things the way that he says them. The Spirit of God could have said here, "For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread." He could have written it that way and we would have understood. But the Spirit of God has this little word "how." This little word "how" in this verse. And it takes us into, I believe, a very important message. The word had heard, tells us that sometime in the past, Naomi heard in the country of Moab, not just that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread, but she had heard how he did it. How he did it. In other words, Naomi, I believe, heard a very detailed account of how the Lord visited his people and gave them bread. I believe we talked a couple of weeks ago about how the Lord visited his people and ended famines. We looked at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And it's a verse that we know very well. But we noted the verse that precedes 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we saw in that 13th verse that God says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, every one of those things, heaven shut up that there be no rain, locusts devouring the land, and pestilence among God's people, every one of those things produces famine. And what is it that will cause the famine to end? How is it that God will visit his people in giving them bread? Well, that's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is how God visited his people in giving them bread. And I believe this is the how that Naomi had heard in the country of Moab. There had been repentance. There had been revival, if you will, in the land of Israel. This was the pattern of the book of Judges. The pattern, and you find it all through the book of Judges. And remember, we're talking about in the days when the judges ruled. Israel would sin. God would judge them for their sin. Most often, he gave them into the hand of their enemies. But in this case, he sent a famine. And when Israel would cry to the Lord, he would deliver them. He would raise up a deliverer like Gideon or Samson. But in this case, the Lord visited his people and brought an end to the famine. And so there in Moab, Naomi heard the message of repentance. This is the importance of this little word, how. But let's go back to the other three-letter word, the word had heard. That word is one of the clocks that the Spirit of God uses here in his word. It's a word that tells us something about time. For she had heard, verse 6, in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So when did Naomi hear? When did she hear in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and had given them bread? Well, there's a thought that I would suggest to you about the timing of the words had heard. And the timing is suggested to us by another little three-letter word, the word she. The word she. And the thought that the word she, for she had heard, suggests Naomi heard this message. And she heard it after the death of Elimelech. And I would suggest that to you because it's Naomi that hears. It's not Elimelech that hears. It doesn't say, and they heard. It doesn't say that she and Elimelech heard. It says she heard. And he didn't hear because he had died. The first attention-getting event in Naomi's life that we know about is the death of her husband. And that doesn't move her. She stays in Moab. The next attention-getting event in her life would seem to be that she hears how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. And that message doesn't move her. She continues in Moab. The next attention-getting event in Naomi's life is the death of her two sons. And when she was left of her husband and her sons, now we read in verse 6, then she arose. It's when she was left of her two sons and her husband that she was willing to act on the message that she had heard. How that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. And the point of thinking about these things, folks, is that we're just like Naomi. We're just like Naomi. This book, the Word of God, is the message that tells us how that the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. The Lord Jesus is the bread of God, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And he gives life unto the world because he left the glories of heaven. And he came into this world and he was despised and rejected of men. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief and to make his soul an offering for sin. And there on the cross of Calvary, the bread of life was broken. We're going to be remembering that, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday night. There on the cross of Calvary, the bread of life was broken. What did the Lord Jesus say when he instituted the Lord's Supper? This is my body, which is broken for you. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The Lamb of God bore our sins in his own body on the tree and shed his blood for hell-deserving sinners like you and me. And 3 days later, because the Lord Jesus had offered the one sacrifice for sins forever, because God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice of his Son, and he accepted the sacrifice of his Son, he raised him from the dead. That's the message of all eternity. That is the message of how the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. And if any man, the Lord Jesus said, eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And whosoever will hear that message and turn from their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on him and him alone will be saved. This is the message in these words, I believe, in verse 6. The message that comes to mind as we read how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And the question this morning is the same question that we asked last week. What is it going to take to get us not just to hear how the Lord has visited his people and giving them bread? Naomi heard that. What is it going to take for us to act upon that message? Believe that message. Allow that message to be the turning point in our life, where we turn from our sin and we turn to the Lord Jesus. Allow that message to change the direction that we're heading. It took 3 deaths to get Naomi to believe that message. The message that she had heard. It took 3 deaths before she would leave Moab. What's it going to take for us? Maybe you're thinking, well, what does Moab have to do with me? It doesn't even exist today. It does exist today. Moab can be a place, a person, something that draws you away and keeps you away from the house of bread so that you hear how that the Lord has visited his people and giving them bread, but you never act on that message and allow it to change and turn your life. The Spirit of God will tell you right now who or what there is of Moab in your life right now. He'll tell you. He'll put his finger on it if we're willing to listen to him. Here in verse 6, after about 10 years, 10 years, After the deaths of her husband and sons, Naomi acts on the message that she had heard before. And now she rises to return to Bethlehem, the house of bread. Now, beginning in verse 7, our attention is directed toward Naomi's two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi thanks her daughters-in-law for their kindness toward her sons and toward her. And she says in verse 9, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope. If I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes." I want you to notice those words. "It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Naomi asked these girls why. Why would they go back with her? She's too old to have a husband. In other words, it has ceased to be with her after the manner of women. She can no longer have children. But even if there was hope, even if she had a husband this night and should bear sons, would you wait for them to be grown? Would you deny yourself having husbands to wait for these boys that I would have to reach an age where they could marry you? Would you? And then Naomi says this in the middle of verse 13. "For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." I think for many years I misunderstood those words. I think I read those words and I thought that they expressed bitterness toward God. But that's not at all what those words express. Those words express the bitterness of soul of a sinner over her sin, and the impact of her sin on the lives of the people around her, namely Orpah and Ruth. Those words come from a heart that had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. And Naomi ignored and rebelled against that message. And what she is acknowledging is what it took for her to listen. What it took for her to repent and arise and go back to the house of bread. What it took for her to repent, to return to the Lord Jesus Christ. What it took was the death of her sons and your husbands, girls. "My sin caused the hand of the Lord to go out against me, and I grieve for the effect that my sin has had in your life." Folks, we never sin in a vacuum. We never sin in a vacuum. This is the cry of a person who's broken over their sin. These words in verse 13 go right along with the words that Naomi says in verse 21, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." One of the signs of true repentance is when we come out of our selfishness and we see our sin and we see the impact that our sin has had on the people around us, and we grieve in bitterness of soul as Peter did. When the Lord looked at him, the Bible tells us, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Bitterness of soul. "Call me not Naomi," she says. "Call me Mara." Call me bitter. That's what the word Mara means. It's a reference back to the bitter waters of Marah that the children of Israel came upon in their journeying from Egypt. Call me Marah. Call me bitter. Not bitter toward God. Bitter over myself and my sin. Naomi is a broken woman. And when we come to that place, and it's a blessed place to come to, when we come to that place of brokenness, God shows us the blessed tree of the cross of Calvary, where he cut off his only begotten son and cast him into the bitter waters of our sin to bring forth the sweetness of the waters of life. And the wonderful thing to see here is that God uses broken people. Look at verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Orpah went back to her people. She went back to her gods. In Orpah, we're reminded of many of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Disciples who followed just like Orpah followed Naomi. Disciples who declared that they would follow the Lord wherever he went. We'll follow you. That is, until they heard some hard sayings. Hard sayings offend and divide. In John chapter 6, in response to the message of the truth, we read, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That comes to mind here. The message of no more husbands with Naomi. The message of the judgment of God, the hand of the Lord being against those who reject the message of how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Judgment that can even mean death for the rebels. Those are hard sayings. And hard sayings offend people. And so Orpah went back to her people and her gods and walked no more with Naomi toward the house of bread. But then in contrast to Orpah, we have Ruth. And the contrast between Orpah and Ruth is the same contrast that we have between the many disciples and the true disciples in John chapter 6. Ruth clave unto Naomi. Why? Because in Naomi's bitterness of soul, in Naomi's bitterness and brokenness over her sin and rebellion, I believe God showed Ruth her own heart. And her own need to believe the message, how that the Lord had visited his people. And he visited them when they humbled themselves and prayed and sought his face and turned from their wicked ways. And how he had heard from heaven and how he'd forgiven their sin and healed their land and given them bread. The bread of life. That's why Ruth clave to Naomi. That's why she didn't go back to her people and to her gods. It's the same reason that the true disciples clave to the Lord Jesus. They believed the Lord Jesus when he said in John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And it's very instructive in John chapter 6 that the Lord Jesus challenges the disciples that did not go back and turn away from following him. We read in John 6 in verse 67, the Lord Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He just told them, I'm the bread of life. So where are we going to go, Lord? You're the bread of life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what the Lord Jesus does in John 6, Naomi does to Ruth here in verse 15. Naomi says, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now notice what Ruth says beginning in verse 16. And think of how it compares to what Peter said in John chapter 6. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Naomi, to whom shall I go? That's what Ruth is saying. To whom shall I go? The words of eternal life, the bread of life, is in the house of bread. In the house of bread's in Bethlehem. And that's where you're going, and that's where I'm going. There is no other place to go. Instructive contrast between Orpah and Ruth. An instructive comparison between John 6 and these verses in Ruth chapter 1. Verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It's interesting as we read the scriptures to envision what we read in our minds. Think about the picture. Here come these two women to Bethlehem. These two women, here they come to the house of bread. A Jewish woman, Naomi, who has the right to be there, and a Moabite woman who has no right to be there. Remember the verse that we mentioned last week, Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3. It says, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. And yet here's this Moabite woman coming to the house of bread. How can that be? There's something here. This is an amazing book, folks. It is just, the words fail me to describe it, the depth of it, the preciousness of it. There's something here like that. And it's something that defies explanation. But when I read it, my heart rejoices. Because the Spirit of God put it in here. He didn't have to. But He did. And I believe He put it in here for us to see ourselves and our need. And the so great salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided. Look over at the last chapter of Ruth. Look at Ruth chapter 4. And look at verse 13. And we're jumping ahead. But we have to understand, as we look at these two women going back, how is it that a Moabite could come to the house of bread? So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Now look at verse 17. And the women, her neighbors, that is Naomi's, well, let's read verse 16. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. Now, this book could have easily ended right there. Right there. It's a happy story. Ruth comes back, and Lord willing, we'll talk about how she meets Boaz and the picture that Boaz is. And they marry, they have a child. Very happy story. Very happy, true story. And it could have just ended right there. Naomi has this child that she's able to nurse. But it doesn't end. The Spirit of God's got more information to give us. Look again at verse 17. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Now, let's stop there for just a minute. What we're about to read here is the genealogy of Judah. Judah had three sons. We don't have time to go back to Genesis chapter 38, but Judah had three sons by a Canaanite woman, Ur and Onan and Shelah. And we find there that the Lord killed Ur and Onan because of their wickedness. And you remember Judah told Tamar, who had married Ur, okay, you wait for Shelah to come along and I'll give you him to be your husband. And of course, time passed and nothing like that happened. And so you remember Tamar disguised herself as a harlot. She's on the side of the road. Judah comes by. He goes into her. She conceives. She had Judah give her a pledge, some of the articles that he was carrying with him. And so somebody came to Judah and they said, hey, your daughter-in-law is expecting. He said, I'll take her out and burn her. Boy, that's us, isn't it? Take her out and burn her. And so Tamar sent the things to Judah. Said, by the man do these things belong to? That's who I'm with child by. Wow. Shocking to Judah. And he takes Tamar, and through Tamar, she has twins. One of the twins is named Perez. And it is through Perez that the genealogy of Judah is given. Now, with that in mind, let's read verse 18. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. This is one of these little genealogies that we tend to skip, but there's a lot of meat in them. Now remember what Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3 says. A Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Now here's what is precious to think on. If you count the generations of Perez, notice who the 10th generation is. It's David. Now why is that precious? Turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. First verse in the New Testament. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The 10th generation of Perez is David. And who as concerning the flesh is David's son? Who, as concerning the flesh, is the offspring of this 10th generation of Perez? We just read about him in verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And I believe that the reason the Spirit of God doesn't end the book of Ruth after the name Obed in verse 17 is because it is in the 10th generation that we see David. And who is David's greater son? It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that we see in this 10th generation. And it is Jesus Christ who makes it possible for a Moabite to enter into the congregation of the Lord in the 10th generation. Because as concerning the flesh, he's the offspring. He's the son of this 10th generation. And folks, that connection is marvelous to think on. It's marvelous to think on because by nature, you and I are Moabites. We cannot enter into the congregation of the Lord because we are aliens and strangers and enemies in our mind by wicked works. We have no hope. We're without God in the world. And then we come to this verse, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The son of this 10th generation that we read about back in Ruth chapter 4. And the Lord Jesus became an alien and a stranger for us. He was despised and rejected of men. He became the enemy of God. In those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, when he took our sin and our rebellion and our wicked works upon himself. And there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross. And because of his death and the shedding of his blood and his resurrection from the dead, it's the day of grace. It's the 10th generation. And Moabites like you and me can now enter into the congregation of the Lord. Like Ruth, we can come to the house of bread. Because the bread of God, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus was broken for us. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. We can take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord because he paid the eternal price for our sin. Remember that verse. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Now we can enter. Why? Because he paid the forever price, if you will. The eternal price for our sin. Do you know him this morning? Do you? You can. This morning you can believe the message that you've heard so many times. You can believe it in the country of Moab. You can believe it in your rebellion. How that the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. And you can humble your heart. You can pray and turn from your wicked ways. And ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. And he'll hear from heaven. And he'll forgive your sin. And he'll give you the gift of eternal life. If we're saved today, we've left the house of bread and we're dwelling in Moab. We can do what Naomi did. We can arise. For she heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was on the way to return unto the land of Judah. You can overlay 1 John 1:9 on those words. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Oh, the depths of it. And oh, the depths of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. And we thank you again that we see that message on every page of this book. We see it in the genealogies, these little places that we tend to skip over so many times, and yet even they are full of the message of the cross. We pray that you would speak to the hearts of any here today who are lost. There is provision and there is power to leave Moab. And the provision and the power is found in one person, Jesus Christ the Lord. We thank you for him today. And we pray these things in his precious name. Amen.